Let us pray. Lord, we are here to worship and we are here to bow down before you, our Lord and our God. Be with us now as we open your word. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Sometimes when you work ahead at something to be prepared, it doesn't turn out as you expected. A while ago, I put together our little Advent red calendar so we'd be able to give it out at the Santa Claus parade. And I thought, I have to have a title for each Sunday of Advent. So the title for today's sermon is Walking the Path Until the Homeowner Returns. But I didn't think too much about that. And I thought, now I have to sort of try and fit my sermon into that title that I gave it ahead of time. But I think this Sunday continues what we've been learning the last few weeks as we headed up to Advent. The fact that the homeowner has gone and we are told to get ready. We're to be like those virgins who always had oil in their lamp. And they were ready for when the bridegroom came. We're to be like those servants of the master of the house who we've been given tasks to do and we're invited to be faithful in doing them. But it's not always easy to do, is it, when we're waiting for something? I think most of us are waiting for Christmas. We know when it's going to arrive, December 25th. That's the day that the church has chosen to celebrate the birthday of baby Jesus. And it's fun to think about it, isn't it? We usually think about presents and family and turkey dinners, or maybe ham, but hopefully turkey with cranberries. All these wonderful, joyous things that we think about at Christmas time. And it's such a big event that it's not just Christians that celebrate it. That joy sort of oozes out into all the world. And people that have no relationship with Jesus, they kind of like to celebrate Christmas too, don't they? Because it's about family and presents and food and fun and games. It's a great thing. But Bishop N.T. Wright says, in a way, we've domesticated Christmas, haven't we? We like to think about those cozy scenes where I'm with my friends, I feel safe, I have fun. And when I read that, I thought, he's really right. I've decorated my house already. And I tell you, I don't think my decorations really do look like the first Christmas because I've got these cute little figurines. I should have brought one today. And they're made out of felt. And there's baby Jesus, and there's Mother Mary and Joseph, but they're all felt. And then I have another one where it's a flower pot, and Jesus and baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds are all made out of wooden spoons that have been painted and little things put over their head. So it's very cozy. It's sweet. That's not everything that Christmas is about. And that's why we have the season of Advent. Christmas is great and we all love it. But Advent gives us a bigger picture. Advent gives us the big cosmic picture of a God that is going to break through the heavens one day and come down to earth the second time. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. That's what Isaiah says. People are in exile here. People have been taken hostage to foreign lands and they can't get free. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down and rescue us. Sort of reminds me of one of our favorite Advent carols. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. They're using the word Israel because this is a takeoff on Isaiah's Isaiah's words. But it's really all of us that are in exile. The world is out of sorts. The world is not the way it should be. The world is not the way that we want it to be. In fact, sometimes I think that some of our writers get it really well. We are in eternal winter, where Christmas never comes, because the evil witch has put a spell on the earth, and we need the lion Aslan to come and set us free, like he set free Narnia. We need to have Sauron taken out of mortar so it can come to fruition again. Those of you who like movies or like to read, you know we're talking about the Narnia Chronicles and the trilogy of Lord of the Rings. Thank you. Thank you. And I think of Wakanda as well, the Marvel movie that came out recently, where Wakanda needs somebody to come and rescue it. And so the Black Panther comes to set this place that's in turmoil free. I think this message of Advent is what is going to animate our young people. It's not just the coziness of Christmas with family and friends and presents and shopping. If we don't embrace the bigger story of God coming and setting his people free, then Advent just becomes a time to shop. Shop for good food, shop for presents, shop for decorations for our homes, which we all love to do. But it lets out too many people. There are people that can't afford presents. There are people that don't have homes. There are people that can't afford to have a nice turkey dinner because they have nowhere to cook the turkey. Advent tells us that there's a bigger thing at play. There's that battle between goodness and righteousness and evil and unrighteousness. Not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. And we are all invited into the fray. We're all invited to be the ones that are waiting for the king to return into his kingdom and bring right out of wrong. It's easy to get discouraged, though, isn't it? When we look around at the world, we've seen what it looks like to be a hostage, haven't we, in the last month. It's not pleasant, and hostages can't do anything themselves to get out of being hostage. They need another stronger force to come in and rescue them. And when we try and do it in the physical world, well, we don't always do it very well, do we? There's casualties on both sides. We need the Prince of Peace to come and rescue us from our spiritual condition. Eventually, Christ will come to right all the wrongs of the world, but he invites us, first of all, during Advent, to make sure the wrongs in our hearts have been righted, to make sure that we are on the side of the coming King. Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, Jesus tells us how we don't do it. But about the day or the hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. We know what those evangelists look like, don't we? Okay, the end of the world is almost here. It's going to happen on the 23rd of January, 2024. I know because I've looked at all the signs in the Bible. And we can spend our lives looking down, trying to make charts and figure out when that day is going to be. But Jesus said, that's fruitless. Only the Father knows. Even Jesus doesn't know. This is the one time where Jesus actually says, I have a different role than the Father. Usually he's telling us that I and the Father are one. And whatever the Father tells me, I do it. But here he's saying, the Father hasn't even told me when that day is going to be. So don't spend your time looking down at charts, figuring out when it is on the calendar, because then you're not going to be of any use in the world. The world needs you right now. So what does he tell us to be like? He says, be like farmers. Farmers are out in the fields looking for where the growth is. This particular farmer is looking at the fig trees to figure out when things are coming into bloom, to see those tiny blossoms and to go and maybe fertilize that tree that he knows is going to bear fruit. Jesus wants us out in the world looking for growth, being part of the things that are living and growing, being part of the kingdom that he is building even now. You know, we're very lucky. In the last 2,000 years, we get to look back on that first Christmas, don't we? We know when we celebrated December 25th, or if you're Orthodox, January the 6th. But people before Jesus was born, they didn't know when the Messiah was going to come. They weren't looking for the second coming of Christ. They didn't even know when the first one was going to happen. I don't know if they forgot to read their Bibles, but Jesus came and they didn't recognize him. All that anticipation that the Israelites had looked forward to, and a lot of them missed it. A lot of them missed it. We don't have to miss it, do we? We know that the baby Jesus came and he was going to become the Savior of the world. But Jesus says, I'm coming again. That's what Advent is about. And what is Jesus going to look like when he comes again? Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out his angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. He's going to come as a king. He came as a lowly baby before. The wise men recognized him, didn't they? And they brought gifts fit for a king. But he's going to come as a king in glory when he comes again. And he says, be ready for it. Be ready for it by working for my kingdom now. Keeping oil in your lamps, the oil of the Holy Spirit. Every day, delve into my word and find out how I want you to be in the world. Be like a farmer who's looking for growth. Go about doing good as Jesus did good. Binding up the wounds of hurting people, rescuing the prisoners, visiting people that are in the hospital, sharing the good news that God loves the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gift that we hold out to the world now, before the second coming, when Jesus comes as the mighty king. Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua. When Joshua had finished all the physical battles 2,000 years before Jesus was born, at near the end of his life, he told the people of Israel, he says, be watchful. Be the people who God wants you to be in the world, because you get to choose. You get to choose every single day who you're going to live for. Are you going to live for Sauron, who rules Mordor? Or are you going to live for the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And then he says a challenge to them. Choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Jesus throws out that same challenge to us. Jesus, Yeshua, the second Joshua, who has conquered the world spiritually, says, choose this day who you will serve. Because there's time. We don't know when Jesus will come again. Maybe tomorrow, maybe 1,000 years from now. But every day, he could come back. I know some of you like the TV show The Chosen, like I do. It's a great series. And I know that their lead actor, who takes very seriously his role of Jesus, he's a very devout Christian, but he wears a ring on his finger. And it's really a skull and crossbones. And he's been criticized for that because people say, oh, that's like a devil symbol. But it's actually not. It is a Christian symbol that, he says, reminds him every day that he is mortal. Every day he reminds himself, today could be my last day on earth. So I am going to live for the Lord. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back in glory. We don't. So let's live each day like this could be the day. We don't need to look at charts and worry about that kind of stuff. But if we live each day as the day he might come again, it will make every day exciting in our lives. Last week we learned that every day we can go out in the world looking for the poor, the downcast, the downtrodden, because Jesus said, whatever you do for them, you're doing for me. We can look for Jesus every day. And one day, he will come back. He will come back. But in the meantime, choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen.